Good morning. So wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship service this morning. I hope everyone has enjoyed the Christmas season and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What an exciting and humble time it has been. Several announcements this morning before we begin our worship service, just to make sure we're all aware of a few things. First of all, if you are a guest with us, we welcome you, and we would love to have a record of you being here. We have guest cards that are located right in front of you in the pew there. If you could fill one of those guest cards out and place it in the offering plate, we'll take care of the rest today, and we would love to have that record of you being with us. Two announcements in particular, one with the youth and the children. Tonight is our lock-in for the youth, so pray for us. We'll be a little more sleep-deprived this evening, but we have some exciting times ahead this evening. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of us coming together, reaching out, and enjoying them being out of school for a little bit and reconnecting during this Christmas season. Also, next Saturday, remember, it's hard to believe it is already time for our sled day. Hopefully it won't be raining like it is this morning. It'll be cooler weather. We have a lot of snow coming next Saturday morning. And on each side right here on each pew, we have an index card and a large flyer that are for you all to pick up. So when you leave today, please come this way or have somebody come this way and pick up all you want to be able to hand out this week. The postcards and flyers are for you to reach out, invite everybody and anybody to come to the sled day. This is a children's event where we expect a large participation, and we have lunch provided. It was wonderful last year to see how everyone came together, and everyone has already planned to come together this Saturday as well. So be ready for that and make sure to invite everyone around. Also, Dorcas Mission ladies will meet briefly after the service at the front of the sanctuary right here regarding plans for tomorrow. All right. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are so grateful to be here now, God. We are thankful that you have called us together, bringing us together to praise you, to sing praises, Lord, to lift up your name, God, to understand that when you call us together, you want to continue to transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, especially during this time that we have been celebrating his birth. God, guide us right now as we open your word. May it speak to us. Press upon us your will, Lord, and have your spirit move through us so we can be prepared for all that is ahead once we leave here, continuing to be your church among your people. And God, we pray this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Good morning. Let's turn to our hymnal to page 3, two verses of page 3. And then two verses of page 11. My God, how wonderful you are. Page 3, starting on page 3. Let's all stand.
Hearing you all sing and us sing praises this morning. Well, I hope everyone had a great Christmas. Did everyone enjoy celebrating Christmas? I hope you all did. I hope so. This question this morning, it may be similar to one I've asked before, but it has a point because we were talking about how angels helped Joseph last week, and we're going to talk about that again this week and how angels really got Joseph's attention. So I wanted to ask you, when your parents want to get your attention, what do they say or do? When your parents really want to get your attention quickly, what do they say? Do they say your full name, maybe? Can somebody tell me your full name? Your whole name. What's your full name? Can somebody tell me? Well, now it's kind of got a bad connotation to it. I understand. So when your parents want to get your attention, they may say your full name, right? Because they want to get it quick. They want to get your attention quickly. Well, this morning we're going to remember, just like last week when an angel talked to Joseph, and again, after the Christmas story, the angel wanted to get Joseph's attention quickly. You see, after the Christmas story, there was a king during this time. His name was King Herod. And after baby Jesus was born, he thought baby Jesus was going to have an earthly kingdom and was going to have power that might take away some of Herod's power. And so he was jealous, and he was not happy about that. So he actually planned to kill baby Jesus. Isn't that awful to think about? Well, this morning we're going to read about how an angel was watching over this, and hear what the angel said. It said, "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt,
and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. That's pretty amazing to hear how an angel protected and watched over baby Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. So this morning, I want us to remember, just like God was watching over Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, God also watches over us the same way each and every day. We may not hear an angel speak to us, but we can always know that God is always watching over us, just like he was in this story, okay? I want you all to remember that this morning, so let's pray about it. Let's bow your heads. God, thank you so much for watching over us and taking care of us always. And thank you for showing us how you did that to your son, Jesus Christ, in this story. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll see y'all next week, okay?
As they are returning to their seats, let me invite you to open the bulletin to our prayer concerns. And there are several that we need to mention this morning. One, we do want to be remembering the family of Clifford Dickens. Clifford went home to be with the Lord yesterday. Many of his family are here with us in worship today, and we are praying for you. The arrangements will be made this afternoon, and we'll try to do a phone tree as soon as we know those arrangements to let you know those arrangements as well. We do want to be remembering, as we give thanks for a life well lived, of Brother Clifford Dickens. Let me also ask that we would add the names of two that also were on the phone tree I sent out yesterday, Becky Elks and Sylvia Brown. If you would add those to your prayer list and remember them in your prayers, we would be very appreciative. It's good to have Jesse Walker in worship with us today. He had surgery on his hand yesterday. We want to be praying for that to continue to go well. Worship, praise, prayer. They are so connected. May we worship as we pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to lift people we love to your throne, knowing that in prayer there's power. In prayer there is comfort. In prayer there is peace. In prayer there's healing and hope. In prayer we find strength. And so we lift up these who have special needs, these who are grieving, these who have lost loved ones, these that are facing uncertain days. God, in our corporate worship, we pray for them and lift them to you. God, as we gather here on the last Sunday in 2013 and anticipate a new year, a time to reflect and a time to project, we find ourselves in worship and how worthy you are of our worship. Would you speak to us clearly through all that shall take place, through the singing, through the praying, through the music, through the preaching, through your still small voice. May you speak to us clearly about those areas of our life that are under constant construction. And Lord, may you do in us in these few moments some more of your holy work, to make us more of what you would be and less of what we are. Lord, would you continue to fill us with your Spirit? Would you continue to speak to us in every area of our life? And Lord, as the Lamb said in the book of Revelation, he who has an ear, may we hear what you say to us and respond in a way that would be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
Thank you, Lynette. Page 262, Word of God Across the Ages. Let's all stand.
Thank you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the many blessings that you give us, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus. As we prepare to go into a new year, we ask that you might give us strength and boldness to spread your word and your greatness. We ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that a marvelous truth that today in our worship we can give God all the glory that He so wonderfully and desires from you and from me? Let me invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We have been spending some time looking over these last few weeks as we have looked at Christmas as the way John described the Nativity. And it is altogether different. He starts with the majesty of God and His marvelous power for us and to us as we come to this important four verses. When John makes three truths, important truths, life-changing truths about the Nativity, about Christmas, about what Christ has done. John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 14 through 18. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. John, after his beautiful prologue, reminding us that in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, he summarizes with these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." May God add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and grant us application of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us clearly in these moments as we focus upon something that is beyond us and yet a truth we cannot deny. Help us in these few moments of worship and praise, as now we turn our mind to your scripture and to the word as it is proclaimed. May we have those ears to hear and hear what you say. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our service is "Be Thou My Vision," page number 60, if you'd mark that in your hymn book, page number 60. The title of the message this morning is "The True Word," the incarnation, that God became flesh, that the God of all, the God that was before there was, the great I Am, put on flesh. Miraculously was conceived in Mary's womb and developed as an embryo, as a fetus, was born with fingers and toes and a nose and ears. And had to learn to walk and had to learn to talk. How can this be? Wow. The creator of everything. Scientists who examine space are still discovering the vastness of this universe. And And I have the audacity today, and our holy writ has the audacity to say that the one that nothing was made without him put on flesh and was born in Bethlehem. We have heard that story. I never tire of hearing that story. The birth of my Lord and Savior. But today, John tells me a different way. He says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father." The first truth that changes everything, that makes salvation a reality, that makes eternity possible, is the incarnation. The Creator of all entered a body that was created. Scientist Robert Oppenheimer once said, "The best way to send an idea is to wrap it up in a person." Well, theologically, that's exactly what the incarnation is. God's idea wrapped up in humanity. I like the little girl who one time described the incarnation this way. She said, "Some people couldn't hear God's inside whisper, so he sent Jesus to tell them out loud." That's what Jesus is. He's God's example. He is God literally walking among those of us that he designed for this planet to show us how. John doesn't want us to get caught up in the little bitty baby. Luke and Matthew help us to see that, and we do well to see it. But he wants us to realize that the most spectacular event in all of history took place in Bethlehem when God put on flesh and came among us, the true Word. Why would he do this? Why would the Creator of all endure taking off, as I heard someone say, the royal robes of heaven to come and walk among us? Paul Harvey tells a parable that might help us. Maybe you've read it or heard it. But it was about a man. He wasn't a Scrooge. No, he was just that kind of guy. A good guy. A generous guy. A good neighbor. But he just didn't believe in this incarnation stuff that the church has proclaimed, especially at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense to him, if you want to be perfectly honest. And so he told his wife. He had very faithfully gone on Christmas Eve and Easter. He was one of those kind. You know those kind? But he said, "Honey, I don't want to upset you, but I'm not going to the Christmas Eve service. I'd feel like too much a hypocrite. I just don't believe that stuff." Well, he distressed his wife, as you might imagine, but she was resolved to go, and so she and the family left him. And he sat down by the fireside to read the paper. But minutes after they had left, he heard a thudding sound over and over. He thought at first it must be a child throwing snowballs at his window. And that upset him, as you can imagine. But when he went outside, he found something quite different than snowballs. He found a flock of little birds. And now they were miserably huddled underneath the wind and the snow. They'd been caught in the storm, that snow that it was falling, and they were trying to fly through the window. And he thought, "Well, I can't just leave them here." He was a good guy. "I can't just leave them here to die." And then he thought, my barn's warm. We have the livestock in there. I'll go open the doors to the barn
and they'll enter the barn, and there they'll be safe. And so he went and turned on the lights in the barn and flung the doors wide open. But the little birds just sat in the snow, dazed from being stunned, I guess, by hitting the window. Well, he thought he would shoo them. You ever shoot anything? He would shoo them that way. He'd get them started, and then they'd see the warmth of the barn and the safety of the barn through the storm, and then they'd be fine. But when he shooed them, they didn't go the right way. In fact, several of them made a circle and flew right back into the window again. He thought, I know what I'll do. I'll put out a bread trail. Birds love bread, breadcrumbs. I'll lead them with food right to the safety of the barn. So he went in the house and came back and made a wonderfully thick trail all the way from where the birds were to where safety was. And still, they wouldn't move. And then he realized they were afraid of him. He thought to himself, I must be some strange, crazy, terrifying, large creature. And they can't trust me. They don't know whether I want to help them or hurt them. They won't follow me. I can't shoo them. I can't bribe them. I can't make them any other way. And then he thought, if only for one moment, I could become a bird. If I could just become a bird and speak their language and show them that I mean them no harm, then they'd trust me. And then I could lead them to the safety of the barn. Then they'd understand. Then they'd know. And with those thoughts running through his mind, the church bells began to ring. And he fell on his knees in the snow. And he realized what the incarnation was. That our great God put on flesh so we could understand. He came to show us the way to heaven, the safety of the barn. That's John's nativity. Isn't it powerful that he put on flesh? I like what the little boy said, who he was upstairs asleep and crying, and he shouted out, Dad, I'm afraid up here. I need you to come. And Dad shouted back, Son, you're all right. God's with you. Dad, you ever done that? You know? God's with you, son. You're all right. I'm down here. God's with you up there. You're okay. A few seconds, the little boy yelled back up, Get up here, Dad. I need someone with skin on. Well, that's what we needed. We need God with skin on. That's what the incarnation is. And the Word became flesh. Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't need to miss this. This is so important. Secondly, he tells us twice that not only does he put on flesh, but he comes to give us two secondary truths that are connected to our salvation. The one is that he is full of grace. Grace on grace. I like grace on grace. At a comparative religious conference, wise, scholarly, religious kind of guys were sitting around debating, and someone suggested that the one thing that set Christianity apart from every other faith was the incarnation, the idea that Jesus became flesh. But someone quickly said, no, there are other religions that believe that God became a man. Another suggested the resurrection. Maybe that was it. It was the resurrection. But again, someone said, no, there are other faiths that talk about the rising of folks from the dead. They were debating, and the story goes that the great author and lay theologian C.S. Lewis walked in the room with his tweed jacket and his pipe and a lot of papers, as he often had. He walked in and he said, "What are y'all talking about?" And they said, "Oh, we're debating over what is the most unique feature about the Christian faith. What is the most, have you ever thought about that? What's the one thing that validates our faith and separates our faith from every other thing?" "Oh, that's easy," answered Lewis. "It's grace. It's grace." The room fell silent. Lewis continued that Christianity uniquely claims God's love comes free of charge. Free of charge. After a moment, someone commented that Lewis had a point. The Buddhists, you know, they have an eightfold path to enlightenment. It's not a free ride. The Hindus, they believe in karma, that your actions continually affect the way the world will treat you. Someone observed that the Jewish code has laws that implies that you must obey laws and meet certain requirements to be accepted. At the end of the discussion, everyone concluded that Lewis had a point. It's only Christianity that dares to proclaim that God's love's unconditional. There's nothing you and I can do to earn it. It is what God has done. That's why he put on flesh. He comes because he loves us, not because we deserve to be loved. He just loves us. Grace gives us forgiveness and mercy. The love of God is that Christ came and we're redeemed. Today I can tell you that everyone in this room can live for all eternity in a place of safety and joy and peace. A place that has never seen, and an ear has never heard, and a tongue can never describe, because of God's grace. Grace on grace. Grace on grace. Grace on grace. Someone has said that when you take the letters of grace, G-R-A-C-E, they could stand for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what the flesh, the incarnation, the gift of Bethlehem tied to Calvary. Isn't it interesting that two of the three gifts the wise men brought, the myrrh and the frankincense, were used mostly at death? Bethlehem's not far from Calvary. The gift of Christmas, the gift of God, the gift that John wants us to see is that God loves us. If you're here today, I want you to know God loves you. I hope and my prayer is that each one of us who have an understanding of what that means has accepted that love. That's what we have to do. We don't earn it, can't buy it, can't get good enough to receive it. We just have to accept. And then I wondered about that last part, too. Twice he says, full of truth. Truth. And in the commentaries that I read, it said that truth was tied directly to righteousness, that we don't earn salvation. It is God's gift. But listen to this, because I think this is just as important. Once we have received God's grace, we're changed. Once we receive God's grace, we're changed. We don't get changed to receive God's grace. That's the wrong order. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." That's grace. That's grace. But once we receive God's grace, once God's love fills our hearts and we enter into that love relationship with God, we are changed. Jesus made a poignant point. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter. Really began to read the story. Peter asked that question about How many times should I forgive? You know, Peter was a numbers kind of guy, and he wanted to know how many times he could count them out and he could keep a ledger. Jesus told him a story, a great story, a tremendous story about grace and truth. Grace and truth. About grace, what God gives us, and then what we do once we've received it. How we're changed once we receive it. And he tells this little story, and it's so obvious. I get angry every time I read the story. You remember the story. It's a story about a man who owed the king just a tremendous amount of money. And he goes to the king and he says, King, I'm sorry, I can't pay it. I don't have it. He gives him his story, and the king, representing God, says, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it. Grace. Grace. Grace upon grace. And then the story says that the man who just received that grace walks out and finds a gentleman who owes him a small amount of money. He says exactly what the king said to him. And that man, go read it in Matthew 18, 23 and following. That man says exactly, exactly to him what he said to the king. Truth. And the scriptures say, Jesus tells that story. He says, and that man said, what do you mean you can't pay me? I'm not going to give you any grace. I'm going to have you thrown in debtor's prison, and you can work off your debt to me. And doesn't that just irritate you a little bit? That ought to raise some deep river, you know, something. That's not right. We know that's not right. That doesn't feel right. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't smell right. You know why? That's not right. That's not how we live, we who are people of grace. Can you imagine being forgiven $1 million debt and somebody owes you a buck and you throw them in jail? What kind of person are you? Truth. Righteousness. Grace upon grace. We're given God's grace. The incarnation is the gift of God. It is grace. And when we receive it, we are changed. We become people of the book. We become people of the work. We become people who not only love the Lord, but we want everyone to love the Lord. And we want to share the good news. Share the good news that Jesus Christ is born. That's our call. That's our challenge. That's the three things coming together. The incarnation. We've just celebrated the birth of our Lord. He came, as we said last week, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe that. The incarnation, God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now as we stand the last Sunday of 13, the beginning of 14, before we shall worship corporately again together. May we also remember the truth. May we live like people who have received grace. I can say it another way. Let us live graciously to the people who are in our path, to the people that we come in contact with, and share them that God loves them. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness, we all have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, There may be one here today who has never accepted you as Lord and Savior. What a perfect opportunity now is. There may be someone here today who would say, I've been dealing more with the grace than I have the truth. And even now, your Holy Spirit is encouraging us to make those life changes that would make us more like you and less like us. And there may be someone here who's saying, I think I've got to become righteous before I can be forgiven. They're dealing with the truth before the grace. And Lord, remind them that just as we are, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. O Lamb, O Lamb of God, I come. Remind us, as Lunette sang in that wonderful, wonderful carol, Heaven's perfect Lamb is the great I Am and has come to deliver us all. Lord, may there not be one who leaves this place who understands what your Spirit is saying to our heart, who hasn't accepted you in the pardon and forgiveness of our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page number 60. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, and you need to make some decision for Him, whether public or private, but it is going to be a decision between you and God, this is the perfect moment. This is the perfect time to take all that we've done in worship to this point and now speak to God clearly about what we'll do with who God is in our life as we stand together. Glad to have Darrell Watson and his family with us in worship. And I thought of your sermon on our homecoming Sunday of that incredible grace. And I appreciate y'all being with us and that message you shared with us. Hope that you will pray especially for our youth tonight. I noticed that when Matt came in, he was looking a little scrubby. And I thought, well, he's just really getting ready for tonight. So pray for them. They're going to have a good time. And do remember the things to pass out for the Sled Day. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to invite neighbors and the folks you know that have children to come. And they'll have a marvelous time. And we're going to share not only a marvelous time, but the grace of God with them as well during that time. And we're excited about that opportunity. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people, the 2013 people, and especially the 2014 people in the midst of all this. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you go with us from this place that we might go out with the reality that we know the true word? It is grace and truth. And we might share it in how we live, in what we say, and what we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.